Hello, and welcome to the America Pray Now podcast, a podcast for people of prayer. Today, we will hear from America Pray Now leader, Ryan Thomas.
On today's podcast, we want to look at the life of Dwight L. Moody. Many in the body of Christ know Dwight L. Moody as a prominent evangelist, preaching across America and the United Kingdom. One source has estimated that he preached to over 100 million people during his lifetime, many of the meetings being attended by 20,000 souls each. His evangelistic campaigns inspired others, including Billy Sunday, and another widely considered to be the heir of Moody in the 20th century, Billy Graham. What was the spark behind his far-reaching ministry and life? He was known for arising at 4 a.m. every day so that he would have a full hour of time in prayer and in the Word before anyone else was awake on the property. A close friend of Moody's, R.A. Torrey, testified that the great secret of Dwight L. Moody's life was that he was in the deepest sense a man of prayer. He was a wonderful preacher, but knowing him as a close acquaintance, Torrey said, I want to testify that he was an even greater man of prayer. 13 years before Moody became a popular evangelist, his lack of ability was very clear to many who knew him. One man said, if God can use that instrument, he can use anyone. It was not Moody's great talents or educational skills that caused him to be so useful in the kingdom, but the moving force of prayer in his life. When Moody was in his 60s, he was once asked what was the single greatest factor that led to him being used so mightily by God. He replied, well, there have been a number of things that have been for the good, but perhaps none better than the surrender of my will to God. Moody was a very eager minister in his earlier years, trying to do as much as possible. But one observer recalled him as having a lack in the divine unction on his teachings. But Moody said even though that was true, he had a great hunger to see God's power in his life and ministry, and he cried out to God to receive a greater touch. Once while in New York City, God gave him that touch. Moody describes his experience in this way. I cannot describe it. I seldom refer to it. It is almost too sacred an experience to name. I can only say that God revealed himself to me, and I had such an experience of his love that I had to ask him to stay his hand. I went to preaching again. The sermons were not different. I did not present any new truths, and yet hundreds were converted. I would not now be placed back where I was before that blessed experience. If you should give me all the world, it would be as the small dust of the balance. Soon after this event, he went to England, not to speak, but to hear other men of God and learn from them. On one occasion, in a certain church, he was asked to share, and he told them that he would. The pastor there asked him to preach in the morning and then at night. Moody said that he went in the morning and found a large church full of people. When he began to speak with them, it was the hardest talking he had ever done. There was no responses on their faces. It was as if they were carved out of stone or ice. He said, I wished I wasn't there, and I wished I hadn't promised to speak again at night, but I had promised, and so I went. At night, it was the same thing. The house was full of people, and people were outwardly respectful, but there was no interest and no response. I was having a hard time again. Then, about halfway through my talk, there came a change. It seemed as though the windows of heaven had opened and a bit of breath blew down. The atmosphere of the building seemed to change. People's faces changed. It impressed me so that when I finished speaking, I gave the invitations for those who wanted to be Christians to rise. I thought there might be a few. To my immense surprise, full pews stood up. Dwight Moody thought there had been some mistake. This was a church service attended by regular churchgoers. His call was for those who wanted to be Christians. Mr. Moody thought to himself, They must have misunderstood me. Let me explain what I meant. So he announced that there would be a meeting after the service for all who wished to become Christians. He made it very clear what he understood for that to mean, and he dismissed the service. They went into a lower room of the church for a special meeting, and the people came down, crowding in below, filling all the available spaces, seats, aisles, and standing room. Moody talked again for a few minutes, and then asked for those who wanted to become Christians to rise. This time he knew he had made his meaning clear, but again they got up in groups of 50s. Mr. Moody said, "I turned to the minister and I asked him again, 'What does all this mean?' The minister there said, 'I do not know. What will I do with them? This is something new.' Mr. Moody said, 'Go ahead and announce another meeting tomorrow night and Tuesday night and see what comes of it. I'm going across the channel to Dublin.' And so he went, but he had hardly stepped off the boat when a cablegram was handed him from the minister saying, 'Come back at once, church packed.' So he went back and stayed 10 days. The result of that 10 days was that hundreds were added to that church, and that every church nearby felt the impulse of those 10 days. Mr. Moody recalled those days and said, "I had no plans beyond this church. I supposed that God had my entire life's work there. But the result was I was given a roving commission and have been working under it ever since." What was it that caused this great move of God in this church? This church that had been previously filled with stone-cold faces. The reason behind this move of God was found out a few weeks later. There was a member of this church, a certain woman who had been taken sick sometime before. She grew worse and worse, and the doctors told her they were unable to do anything. They told her that she would get worse, that she would not die anytime soon, but that she would be ill and shut in for the rest of her life. As she sat in her home, she thought of her life and said, "How little I've done for God. I've done practically nothing. What can I do now, shut here in my house and on my bed?" And then she said, "I can pray. I will pray." And she was led to pray for her church. Her sister lived in her home and was her main link to the outside world. After a church service, she would say, "Was there anything new at church today?" Time after time, her sister would say, "No, nothing new. The same old deacons came and gave the same old prayers." But one Sunday, the sister came back from service and said, "Who do you think preached today?" "I don't know," she said. "It was a stranger from America. A man named Moody, I think that was his name." The sick woman's face changed. Her lips trembled as she quietly said, "I know what this means. There is something coming to the old church. Don't bring me any dinner. I must spend the afternoon in prayer." That night in the service, that change started to come. That was the change that Moody testified to. The woman testified that she had heard about Moody from a paper that was published in Chicago, and it contained a talk by Mr. Moody. All she knew that this talk made her heart burn, and that there was the name of Moody on it. She was led to simply pray that God would send that man to their church in London. Months and months went by, but she continued to pray, and the Spirit of God moved that man of God across the water into London and into their church. And then there was her special prayer after hearing he had come, a kind of last charge up of the steep hill, and that night the victory came. Moody testified, "I believe that without a doubt, someday when the night is gone and the morning light comes and we know as we are known, we shall find the greatest single factor of that 10 days' work in that church and the changing of tens of thousands of lives was that woman in her praying." Her name was never recorded, her fame forgotten as far as this world would measure. But in heaven's sight, her works are clearly seen. It was a secret service, this act of intercession. It was hidden, but mighty and effective. Another occasion in which intercession played a role in Dwight Moody's ministry was when he was undertaking a campaign at Cambridge. Moody said, "Preaching had nothing to do with it. Mr. Sankey and I had a pressing invitation to go to Cambridge when we were in England 10 years ago. I refused. I thought I had no call to go to universities. But when we were over there again, another call came, signed by a list of names, 6 or 8 feet long, and I said, I will go. But the first night we were there in Cambridge, a group of students tried to break up the meeting. It was amazing. It was unheard of. I've preached to all kinds of people before, hoodlums and everything, but it looked like this group of students were going to snatch the whole thing out of our hands. I don't think there were 50 students out of that roomful that heard the songs of Mr. Sankey. And right on through the whole meeting, it was just the same. On Monday night, the disturbance was just as bad or worse. On Tuesday, the outlook was darker than ever. But on that day, a lady, a bedridden saint, who was much interested in the work, sent around word to a few Christians to get together in a little upper room to plead with God for a change in those students. That turned the tide. It wasn't the preaching. They had heard far better sermons from better preachers, from the best in England. It was those Christians in that upper room praying to God that made the difference. How did they pray? It seemed as if their prayers burst into heaven. Moody said, "The victory is ours." The next Sunday night, there were 200 or 300 inquirers, men of broken hearts crying out to God. It isn't preaching we want, it is prayer. I would rather be able to pray like Daniel than to preach like Gabriel. We don't want any more preachers in this country. We have enough. What we want is to pray. Let us open up communication with heaven, and the blessing will come down. Dwight L. Moody was not a scholar. He was not a polished speaker. He was not a man of great worldly gifts. But he was a man who prayed. A man who believed that when heaven is moved, the earth will follow. The revivals that shook nations, these souls that found Christ, it all began in the secret place of prayer. It began with a man who rose before dawn to seek the face of God. And sometimes it began with someone unseen, a bedridden woman, a handful of believers in an upper room, whose quiet petitions rang louder in heaven than any sermon ever preached. So let us take up this call to pray. The same God who heard Moody's prayers is still listening today. The same Spirit that set those hearts ablaze in London and Cambridge, Chicago and New York is ready to move again through those who will bow the knee and pray. May we be such people, to live so that the glory of God shines through us, not for our fame, but for His kingdom. Because in the end, it was never Moody's work. It was God's work through a praying man. Thank you for joining us for the America Pray Now podcast. If you have enjoyed these podcasts, we also publish a magazine on prayer that is free of charge and can be delivered directly to your home. You can sign up for this magazine on our website at americapraynow.com. In addition to our weekly podcast, we also meet in 16 different cities every month to pray in person. Most of our in-person prayer meetings are in Virginia, and we also have meetings in Maryland, West Virginia, Delaware, and North Carolina. Please see our websites for times and dates. Until next time, may God bless you.